Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 22nd, 212th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is St. Bernard's President Dave Sharp. Hey, guy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm working. How are you doing?
I'm wearing shorts, so but I'm still working.
I noticed. We define our work differently this time of the year. This afternoon, we got a bunch of different things to talk about. Since last we got together, we have had graduation the end of the year. Some of the tests from this spring are coming back. We'll see how St. Bernard stacks up there. Also, coaching, changes, turnovers, expectations, resource allocations, et cetera, et cetera. So, a bunch of stuff to talk about. We'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from a fellow named James Douglas. Quote, "A man can wear a hat for years without being oppressed by its shabbiness." Something about being inside the bottle, I think, and tough to see the outside of the label.
Ah, I got it.
It wasn't a drinking reference at all.
Not that bottle.
No. So, in hindsight, how was graduation this year? It was a little different. I mean, having an elected politician as the keynote speaker is a little bit different than past years. Do it again?
Oh, definitely. I think that Rex did a great job. Rex Bone, and he's connected to the school also in the sense that he was class of 1972. So he gave a great speech, funny, memorable, relatively short, and the ceremony was great as always. You know, we've kind of got our formula that works. You know, do it every year, and then there was a couple elements of surprise. The biggest was Rex kind of telling his story about he didn't quite get his diploma by the end of his senior year, and we just so happened after we announced all 52 of our seniors who walked up to grab their diploma, we actually had one extra one. So Rex got to come up, get his, and made for quite a show. So great as always, and you know, thanks to Rex for being a part of it.
What's the goal of a graduation ceremony?
Probably a couple different goals. One, you know, just to celebrate our seniors, their accomplishment of getting through high school. Two, you know, to celebrate that with the group that they're closest to, family and friends, and to make it memorable too, and something that they'll look back on and enjoy, and something that kind of stands the test of time. And you know, when I am a part of the, you know, our St. Bernard's graduation ceremonies now, and I look back to the time that I was in the same church doing the same ceremony, doing the same handing out the roses and all the other nuances.
You were better looking back then, by the way. I wanted
to. Well, thanks.
There.
Thanks. You didn't know me back then, but thank you for.
It couldn't have been anything but.
Well, thanks. Yeah. It's just, it stands the test of time. It's memorable. And you know, the kids enjoy it. And I think that's, you know, that's the thing. We want them to have a good time, not sit through, you know, the blazing sun or a huge long speech, but, you know, celebrate, enjoy it, and then get on to the next chapter.
How strong is the Alumni Association?
We've got decades of history there at the school. You know, the first graduating class, you know, the 1957, that went all the way through. It's pretty strong. We've got quite a bit that are here locally. We've got them spread out all over the country. And we've had good success just saying, you know, hey, we need help here, we need help there. come back and work for us, be involved. I think everybody that, I shouldn't say everybody, but a large majority of people that went through St. Bernard's had a good experience, want to give back in some way, and then that makes for a good school community for us and one that I'm so happy to be a part of.
I was wondering when the kids graduate and then they start spreading their wings and going off, does the school continue to have contact or outreach mm-hmm. with them, or do you wait for 5 or 10 years until after they have gone and done and kind of settled into their life before that contact is reestablished?
Well, certainly the contact grows as they, you know, advance in their career. But one good development that I've seen from our alumni association is their desire to add new members to their group that are younger graduates. When I say members to their group, kind of their planning and organization committee. So they've had some younger graduates, and that connects the association with the entire group, not just those that are advanced in their career, but those that just are a couple years out and, you know, want to be involved in some way.
In the collegiate scenario, the Alumni Association often is part of the school, part of the mm-hmm. fundraising department. Mm-hmm. Is it that way at St. Bernard's, or is there a little bit of separation?
There's a little bit of separation. We have an Alumni Association that's separate but connected with us that organizes, you know, all alumni reunion, a couple other events that are outside the scope of the school that they organize and they put together. But there's certainly events that we want to host. We want to have opportunities for our alumni to come back and you know, visit the school and the students and the teachers that they may have had when they were there.
What's the biggest wow right now for somebody who's not been to the school in 10 years? They come back and they see what?
I think halls full of students. Students that are that kind of remind them of themselves when they were at that time. Anybody that comes back after 10 years is, you know, somebody that, you know, probably wants to get back involved some way, and they want to see a connection to what it was when they were there. Certainly the building has stayed the same, but it's been cleaned up a little bit and modernized as best we can. But the core element is those kids, and those kids in the halls that they see, that they say, you know what, I remember being there. You know, someday you might get to this place.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Day, this time of the year, a lot is focused on the upcoming year, obviously. But there's also an opportunity to look backwards a little bit. Some of the SAT tests, the ACT tests, the college placement tests, the AP tests, all those different tests that were taken last year, mm-hmm. how did the school come out with that? Were you guys happy? Were you a little frustrated with some of the test scores? Was there any consistency with them?
We were happy to see growth in our AP test scores and really across the board, but a couple areas of growth that we put a lot of time into to get the scores up to where they were this year, but certainly have room for continual growth. One of the toughest AP tests is biology. And we saw some of our highest scores this year compared to previous years. New teacher in that class definitely improved the performance of the group as a whole and a couple individuals in particular. And we saw some growth in our AP literature for seniors. We also saw some growth, let's see here, across the board, but in those two areas were really strong for us that we put a lot of time and energy in. And it's not just, you know, the teacher in the classroom, but the test is something that there's workshops out there for the teachers to go to get better acquainted with the test, what's going to be on there, and to really gear the students towards performing well on that test. And we send off a lot of, you know, teachers last summer during their time off to week-long workshops in the Bay Area and areas on the West Coast, and it really paid dividends. And we're looking forward to just continual growth in that area. Our AP policy for students, you know, we have a class as small as 2 students and one as large as 19 students. The 19
2 kids?
We had 2 in an AP Spanish, yes. Yes, 4 years of Spanish. For the AP.
But that wasn't by themselves.
Well, there were two
that
students.
It was folded into another. I mean, you didn't have a classroom with 2 kids in it, did you?
It was 0 period, so that's how we fit it in. Oh, okay. With the schedule. So that worked out just fine. The largest class, AP Calculus, 19 students, that was the class subject that performed the best, actually, had the highest scores in the AP Calculus class. So that was an area of growth. Those three areas, literature, AP Calc, and biology, that we saw some great growth in. So getting back to our policy, we want to encourage students to get into our AP classes, not restricting it to those that are highest performers, but really definitely gearing it to those students that are going to score the 3s, the 4s, and the 5s on the tests, but also those that are going to get into that class. They might not get a high score, but they're going to have that experience of some academic rigor that they're going to see again in college. So that's very important, not just to serve those high-end students, but everybody that wants to challenge themselves.
Do they let you in that wing of the building where the AP Calc is taught?
Oh, that part, that's pretty advanced up there.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Now, there's a whole bunch of different AP classes, or tests, rather. Mm-hmm. Will you encourage the kids, let's say if you don't have, let's say, AP Geography, mm-hmm. to take that test if they have inclination to it, even if there's no class specifically for it, if they have that interest? Or will you kind of shy away from that and focus just on those classes where the kids are having classes that can take AP?
I think in that scenario, that really depends on the student. So if it's a student that can, in that case, they would need some independent study support. So if we can pair them with a teacher that has some expertise in that subject, they're not going to meet every day, but maybe they'll meet a couple times a week. And if that's one thing that they really want to do, we'll do our best to make it happen and pair them up with a teacher that can help them, you know, not just take the test, but to take the test and to do well.
That'd be kind of cool. I mean, like history, I know a lot of kids, believe it or not, a lot of kids like history. But there's not too many AP. Doesn't McKinleyville have an accelerated program for history? I've never heard of one for geography. That's why I pulled that one out of there. You know, but there are some of these classes that are out there, but if a kid has a lot of interest in it, independent of the school, mm-hmm. yeah, I really – why do you have the students take the AP tests at all?
Mm-hmm. Great question. The main reason that they take the AP test, the Advanced Placement Test, is to get a high enough score on the test to get credit for college. So let's say that there's a student that takes AP History. They score high enough on the test to actually use that performance to replace that class that they would have to take in college. So as you come in as a college freshman, you know, most freshmen are taking a variety of classes, history included. And if you pass that AP test in that history subject, then you don't have to take that class as a freshman. So it kind of accelerates them, advances them a little bit further, and gets some things out of the way early.
Well, or gets them out of school a little bit early, too.
That helps, too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buys Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, one of the things I know that is a big issue for you, for others, is, and I suppose most people think of one thing and they say something else, college placement. Well, who cares about the placement? College graduation. Mm-hmm. Ah, there mm-hmm. we go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you track with the alumni and some of the other ways to keep in contact the graduation rates mm-hmm. of the kids from St. Burns, whether it's at a 4-year or 2-year vocational? I suppose military is a little bit of a wild card in that equation.
That's certainly an area of growth of ours that we can definitely improve in, staying in better contact with those recent graduates to track them through the first 4 or 5 years after St. Bernard's. That's definitely a vital statistic that you know, we should drill into a lot closer to find out that number, so that we can you know, get that number out there, as well as, you know, the high placement rate that you talk about. But you know, definitely that's an area we can get better in.
Now, I know in the past we've talked about some of the schools that the students have gone to. Are you seeing a trend more kids going into military service and things of that nature, or is that something that's a little set aside? Because in talking to some of the vet groups and folks like that, it's not the warm bodies anymore. It's the smarties that are getting into the military, and the other ones, they really don't have the need for.
You're absolutely right. We have had an increased interest in the military in particular. I think that's because of our area, the Coast Guard. And there's a test out there that we, as a school administered for the first time in probably several years. That's the ASVAB assessment test that the military uses to assess the intellect of high school students. So we had 5 or 6 students take that test this year, and you're right. It can be a difficult test. It covers a lot of different areas, not just academic, but also, you know, mechanical, electrical. That I was impressed with the results. I know that there's others out there that are interested. So making that test available to our students to take on campus has was a highlight this year. And I think we'll get more students to do that next year. But yeah, there's a focus towards the military, vocational, and you know, there's a lot of different areas out there that a student can go into after high school.
Now, we had talked in the past about some of the exotic 4-year schools that the kids were accepted to. How about the exotic vocational schools? Was there anything that really got your attention? You went, okay, this is kind of interesting.
Not yet. I'm still waiting for that wow factor there on the vocational side. Haven't seen it yet.
Do any of the kids go like to the culinary arts institutes and things of that nature? Because I would think that's probably going to be the ones that are most likely. Mm. Yeah, obviously there are others too. Not to denigrate them, but
You're right. We did have one student last year, so maybe that explains my excitement about food then, because I should have remembered that one. But yeah, we had a student that went that direction and wanted to be a chef, an executive chef, and pursued that. So, yeah, that's a good example right there.
I can save your toast every once in a while.
You somehow you know.
sure. Oh boy. The facilities at the school. If somebody has been there, probably most likely it's been either the outdoor, the football, baseball field, mm-hmm. or it's been in the gymnasium with the basketball, volleyball. Mm-hmm. If somebody hasn't been inside the facilities recently, is there any changes going on there?
It looks fresher, looks updated. That's the extent there, and. We've had dollars come in towards improvements the last couple of years. It's just unfortunate in the sense that those funds have gone towards things that people can't see. So a boiler, a heating system that we did for the school, for the gym. So big ticket items that aren't exactly cosmetic, but at least, keep you warm in the gym or in the school, which is, of course, important. So we're still working on, it's an old building. It's got a lot of character, but I love it.
Are the radiators in the classroom still functioning?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That was the boiler 2 years ago that, warmed those puppies back up. But in terms of cosmetic things, we've got a great maintenance team and a group of volunteers and parents that have expertise in that area that keep things looking good. But in terms of big ticket items, those have really gone behind the scenes type things that are necessary. But, big ticket.
Well, that's okay. Once those get all squared up, then have a chance to do big splash stuff.
We have been had an eye on our auditorium. We did get a new curtain for our stage there. This summer, we're resurfacing the floor because we use that auditorium as a gymnasium for junior high basketball, both boys and girls. And so we've kind of taken care of a wall, taken care of the floor. Maybe we'll take a look at the ceiling next.
Yeah, perhaps. KINS, news and information. It's been an ongoing thing for me. KINS, news and information time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. A lot of, press coverage in the last little bit. You had the break-in in the... I don't know if we call it the convent, the dorm, the chapel, your former digs, I don't know. But in one of the facilities on campus, there was a break-in right after graduation. Mm-hmm. Any developments on that case?
Yeah, I'm happy to share some developments there. The Eureka Police Department has been working very hard to identify the suspects. And given the really good media coverage that we got from that incident, some individuals out there have been able to identify who they believe the suspects were in that. But really, more importantly for us and for our students, the Eureka Police Department was able to recover a bunch of the stolen items, in particular items that were our students. So we're sifting through all that, and just a huge thank you to the community for stepping up to identify, possible suspects in this and the police department for their hard work in tracking this until its conclusion.
Lesson learned?
Oh, certainly. Definitely. I think that we can be a little tighter with our facilities, and that one in particular. It happened within days, just a couple of days of the last adult supervisor leaving. So these were people that had an idea of the schedule and pulled it off pretty successfully, but ultimately I won't be a success in the end, I think. So, we can definitely. I mean, it's we want to be a school that's inviting, that people can come into, see, be a part of, meet somebody, and get a good feel for it. And that, you know, may come at a cost. So balancing those two things is definitely, you know, an area of focus.
I notice you're wearing a football cap along with your shorts. change over there.
Yep. We have a new head varsity football coach, Matt Tomlin, who comes to us from College of the Redwoods, where he was offensive coordinator there, and then a couple high schools down in the Santa Rosa area. And then before that, of course, was a graduate of St. Bernard's class of 95. So brilliant football mind, knows the school, knows the culture, knows the people, and is just a tireless hard worker. So very excited to have him come in, continue the success of former coach Jason White, who's now at Eureka High. It's really been building. The program has been building. We're winning more games than we're losing. There's respect. There's student athletes that are coming to the school because of football. So that's a tribute to the success that Coach Wardrip before Jason, and then Jason, and now Matt can pick up and really build on. So we're really excited the direction of the football program and the people that we have in place.
And Jason was also your athletic director, correct?
Yeah, Jason wore many hats at our school and did them all very well. Athletic director was one of them. And Coach Tomlin is going to replace Jason in that role. So he'll be athletic director, head football coach, and still patrol the streets and keep us safe at night. He works for the sheriff department. So he'll make it all work, and we're glad to have him.
So for the first time in a number of years, you don't screw with a football coach because he carries a gun?
Legally, right. Yeah,
carries a gun. Okay.
Yeah.
Bottom line this one pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then you got a new volleyball coach as well.
We reached out, didn't have to reach too far for a new girls soccer coach, Alex Lundberg, who is a full-time teacher at our school, which is always nice to have teachers that coach as well. Students connect with them much better when they're on campus. Alex has a great history, was a high school soccer player in Illinois, did well, came out here to Humboldt State University to play soccer, and then discovered rugby. So he is the head coach of the men's rugby team at HSU for the last couple of years, did a good job, and young, energetic, and loves working with kids. And that explains his role as a teacher and also as a coach.
I mistakenly said volleyball.
Oh, I heard soccer.
That's all right. How's the volleyball program doing?
Great, great. Yeah. Coach Silver's doing an awesome job. Yeah.
How do you judge success with your coaches?
Great question. I think that the St. Bernard student athlete is one that does well academically and participates in more than one sport. So to have coaches that just their entire world revolves around their sport isn't going to be successful. So a coach that can see a student athlete for more than just their role in making them a more notable coach or driving their success, but as a student athlete that needs time in the classroom, needs to play other sports, that's a coach that's going to have success. So somebody that can embody that culture, win games, of course, that's always, you know, the number one goal you really set is to win league and sections. And there's also the other element that sports helps develop character, maturity in young adults. So we measure it with wins and losses, but we also measure it with how good of an experience the student had.
When's the first game?
For football?
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think that's a couple days or a week after school starts on August 28th.
Yeah, you hooked it to the first day of school. Okay. Just checking. Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.